Welcome to the program God and Country, where we look at social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and the issue I would like to focus on this week is the ungodly ideological agenda of secular universities here in America. Now, you might be aware of the secular nature of higher education in America, but most people don't realize how bad it really is. There is a secular, humanistic, even a satanic agenda on college campuses, an agenda which is out to destroy Christianity through the re-education of the next generation. And what should really concern the church is the number of Christian families who are naively sending their children into the secular university system. So often I run into Christian parents who tell me they're sending their children to these ungodly institutions so they can get a diploma with a sophisticated name that impresses the world. Stanford, Yale, Harvard, or even state universities. Or they choose to go to college based upon which one will give them the bigger scholarship. Since when do we decide the will of God based upon money? If false teachers offer to give your child a free education, is that the will of God? Then you have these parents who say they can't afford a Christian college for their child, and they're telling you this while they're getting into their $40,000 SUV. I run into other parents who believe that by getting their young person dedicated to some sport, that will be their ticket to getting a cheap college education. As if a sports scholarship determines the rightness or the wrongness of a college. I think the root problem here is that too many Christian parents are spiritually and culturally naive. They have been fooled to believe that college education is neutral. And they don't understand the difference between a liberal arts education at a Christian college versus a liberal arts education at a secular humanist college. In the secular universities, students are taught as gospel truth, Marx, Rousseau, Mills, Hobbes, Darwin, Nietzsche, Sanger, Mead, Friedan. But in a Christian college, students are taught the apostles and the prophets, the words of Jesus Christ, and the great Christian philosophers and theologians down through the ages. In Christian colleges, all those secular works are also read, but the errors are pointed out and discussed. Now, let me clarify. Not all Christian students abandon their faith when they go to a secular college. So some parents think, well, all is well then. But it's not, because the majority of students still are tainted with liberal ideas and they don't even know it. They leave never learning the biblical worldview, the Christian understanding of history and sociology and science and anthropology and journalism and law. And even though these young people don't completely deny their faith, they come out with a slight skepticism, a slight toleration for evil, a naivety. And if you're a Christian parent who doesn't know the vast difference between the Christian worldview and the secular worldview, it's no wonder that you see no problem in sending your child to a secular college. Furthermore, there is a biblical command that we have to obey in these matters. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 is one of those key verses in the New Testament warning Christians not to compromise with false teachers. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. Also, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Or Psalm chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. How can a Christian put himself under the training of those who are teaching against Christ. Now, the question often comes up, what about going to secular college campuses for evangelism? Absolutely. Go there to evangelize. But I don't imagine the Apostle Paul, or even Jesus, taking a class from the hedonist philosopher Epicurus in order to evangelize the followers of Epicurus. Evangelism does not include being discipled by the doctrine of demons. And the New Testament teaches us to avoid such indoctrination. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. So the Christian ought to avoid being poisoned by the ideology of the world. But even in addition to that, why would a Christian want to pay the tuition in order to pay the salaries of those who are undermining the truth of Christ in our nation? You know, when my sons were in Christian college, it was such a joy to write that check every month, knowing that not only was it helping my sons, but it was going to help God's people in higher education. I believe the Word of God is very clear concerning our duty as Christians in this matter of education. And don't be surprised if you lose your children to the devil if you do not obey the Word of God in this matter. If you value free money and grants and scholarships and sports and prestigious degrees from this world more than you value the truth of Christ, you're not going to have God's blessing on your decisions. And God will not be mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, in the remainder of this program, let me give you a little history concerning how the universities in America have become the church of secular humanism, and how this revolution against Christianity in America began in the universities. And this might help some of those parents who are naive concerning what is going on in higher education in America. In the 18th century, America was known for its Christian-based higher education compared to the apostasy in Europe. Harvard's original motto was Veritas Christo et Ecclesia, truth for Christ and the church. Yale and Princeton were also founded as serious Christian institutions. But that all changed in the 20th century. Harvard took Christ out of its motto, shortened it to truth. In 1932, a graduate of Harvard, Philip Wentworth, wrote a famous article entitled, What College Did to My Religion. And in it, he explained how he abandoned the Christian faith after being under the teaching of Harvard for 4 years. And this was back in the 1920s. He writes, when I entered Harvard in the fall of 1924, I was not only a Christian, I was also an avowed candidate for the ministry. Then for 4 years, I underwent a process of mental readjustment, which shook my little world to its foundations. I recommend that you get that article online and add it to your library for reference. What College Did to My Religion, 1932. Remember the famous conservative William Buckley? 1951, he began his conservative career with the book God and Man at Yale. And in that book, he documented how the professors at Yale were mocking the Christian faith along with teaching Marxism. It's no surprise that in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we had a sexual revolution and an explosion of socialism in our country. Now, this apostasy all began after the Civil War, when Americans started traveling to Europe for graduate degrees, particularly from Germany. And there they picked up all of the humanism of the Enlightenment, Huxley, Rousseau, Spencer, Spinoza. And Germany at this time was the hotbed of intellectual criticism against the Bible. And bringing this over to America, it soon became very fashionable and sophisticated for professors to no longer fully believe in Christianity or the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not as if Europe and Germany are to blame. Those who lost their faith probably never had it to begin with. But what evil ideology does is it allows unbelievers to have an excuse, a defense to hide behind their rebellion to God, a justification for their immorality, a new cosmology, Darwinism, that provides another explanation for our existence. The justification for unbelief and evil has an origin. Evil is empowered by certain philosophers and writers. Now, in America, one of the first colleges to be founded for the purpose of secular humanism was Cornell. Ezra Cornell was a wealthy Unitarian who hated biblical Christianity. Also at this time, other secular universities were created, John Hopkins, Stanford, Vanderbilt, the University of Chicago. They were all founded by rich tycoons who wanted to promote humanistic values. Now, around this time, from about 1890 to the 1920s, the Christian community responded to this apostasy with the fundamentalist movement. Christians started new denominations, new schools that were dedicated to an allegiance to biblical values. But guess which colleges and institutions took dominance in America? The secular humanist institutions or the Christian institutions? Of course, the secular institutions, because unbelief and rebellion is the default position of mankind. Narrow is the way that leads to life, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go that way. But there is also another key factor that empowered secular humanism in America. The secularists cheated. They stole money from the American people to fund the religion of secular humanism. Cornell was funded by the Morrill Land Grant. In 1862, Abraham Lincoln designated the money from the sale of federal lands to be used for American liberal art colleges. In the 1930s, FDR began to give federal funds to universities. After the war, the GI Bill subsidized attendance at these universities, as if these universities were businesses that deserve special government funding. In 1964, Johnson passed the Higher Education Act, creating the current student loan and grant program. Now, colleges that were specifically Christian in philosophy were excluded, because at the same time, the legal environment in the United States began to teach that the state is secular and cannot fund Christianity. So while God's people were forced to pay for the buildings and the salaries of these secular universities, Christian institutions were denied help. So what do we see today? Who has the sprawling campuses and the wealthy faculty? The government-funded secular institutions. The Church of Liberalism, the secular universities, are well-funded. I like this quote from Benjamin Weicker from his book, Worshiping the State, How Liberalism Became Our State Religion. He writes, "We must understand how important the state was for this secular revolution. Massive federal funding was essential right from the beginning in establishing liberalism firmly as the elite worldview." Unquote. You see, the government has the power to tax the people and force people to pay for that which they would not normally pay for. This is the nature of ungodly ideology. It's not something even unsaved people would naturally pay for. There is no economic benefit or skill learned by women's studies or sexual orientation studies or gender studies or secular sociology. Of course, hardcore humanists would pay for it, but most people wouldn't. But if you can force the public to pay for a secular liberal arts education by state and federal taxes, then you haven't made in promoting your ideology. It would be as if the state or federal government required everyone to give a percentage of their taxes to the church. If it wasn't for federal funding, the secular universities would never have had such an influence in America. So the system itself is wrong. evil is empowered by using the power of the state to give it an unfair advantage. So where are we now? Well, secular colleges and universities in America are the hotbeds of Antichrist ideology. Incoming freshmen are indoctrinated in the philosophies and in the beliefs of humanism. Freshman orientation means exactly that, to orient or point the student in a certain direction. George Lukianoff, who is not even a Christian, has written the book Unlearning Liberty, Campus Censorship, and the End of the American Debate. And in it, he gives account after account where colleges and universities are indoctrinating students with ideology, with groupthink, suppressing everything that has a Christian foundation. For example, the University of Delaware Office of Resident Life has imposed a speech code forbidding any instance that is perceived by those involved as being racist, sexist, homophobic, or otherwise oppressive. Christians are left off this list because Christians and their moral values are being targeted. If a student is opposed to same-sex marriage, he is homophobic and therefore oppressive. In one orientation program at the University of Delaware, students had to stand along one wall if they supported various social causes such as gay marriage, abortion, and along another wall if they didn't. The idea is to shame students if they didn't hold to the right social beliefs. Lukianoff also recounts another exercise used in orientation called the Tunnel of Oppression, where new students watch skits to cleanse them of their old thinking. One skit shows how evil religious people are in hating homosexuals. Lukianoff also gives the example of a Christian at Missouri State who was told by a teacher to go out in public and display homosexual behavior and then write a paper about the experience. She was also assigned to write a letter to the Missouri legislature expressing support for homosexual adoption. And when she refused to do so because of religious objections, she was charged with a level 3 grievance, which was the most serious academic charge possible on campus, which would result in her being denied a degree. Then she was subject to a 2.5-hour interrogation from the ethics committee, asking her all sorts of personal invasive questions. Now, are these extreme examples? Well, maybe. But I have heard the same horror stories from every young person in my church who has taken liberal arts classes in secular universities. They're given assignments to write about current social issues, and they're expected to toe the liberal line if they're to get a good grade. Now, 100 years ago, American institutions of higher learning were teaching students about God's morality in the Bible. Now good is called evil and evil is called good. And what will the next generation of leaders in our country look like coming out of these secular institutions? You know, 2 weeks ago in the city of Pasadena, the city fired an employee in their health department because they discovered that this employee was personally against homosexual marriage. The new morality in our country, the new tyranny, is coming out of the secular universities. Now, here's another problem. Not only the teaching of secular humanism in our colleges, but the immorality that always follows. I could read to you article after article about the sex fairs that take place on college campuses, the sex clubs, classes in sexual exploration, sex week at Yale. And the sexual revolution actually took place on our college campuses. Do you know why there are co-ed dorms? It's a deliberate policy to promote free sex. Remember in the 1970s, you were considered a prude if you were against colleges having co-ed dormitories, as if you had your mind in the gutter. But everybody knew what co-ed dormitories was all about. Everybody expects to lose their virginity in college. Everyone knows that campus life allows spoiled children to live in an all-expense-paid brothel for 4 years, courtesy of their middle-class parents, courtesy of the federal government. Every weekend, you can get drunk and get laid. And if you don't think that that's the college life in a state university, you're naive. Now, all right, there are some students who toe the line on morality in our state universities, but they're considered prudes. And they're considered suckers because they help to bring some semblance of morality to the frat house. College campuses in America are the devil's workshop. They are the modern-day equivalent to the temples of Artemis, to the temples of Baal. Let me close with some counsel. First, you should understand that the universities in America are the church of secular humanism. And it's by the taking over of our colleges and by demanding federal money that evil has been empowered in our nation. Secondly, if you're a Christian, be a real Christian. Obey the word of our Lord and be trained where God's truth is honored. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Third, when I recommend a Christian college, I am talking about serious Christian colleges. There are many Christian colleges that are just nominally Christian. They're party schools. They lean to the left theologically. They have already begun to abandon the faith. They call themselves Christian, but they use all the same books that are used at secular universities. They teach the same sociology, the same cosmology as the world. Fourth, there is nothing unbiblical about learning a physical trade from the people of the world. You can go to a secular university to learn a physical skill. But stay away from the secular universities when it comes to the social sciences. Writing, English, political science, law, theology, sociology, philosophy, psychology, social work, economics. But when it comes to the hard sciences like engineering or medicine, you may have to attend a secular university. But even then, find a conservative one. For example, with my own son, I had him spend 2 years at a Christian college to get all of his liberal art classes from a Christian worldview. Then he transferred to a state college to get his strictly chemical engineering classes. We found that even in schools that will give you a good specialty in the hard sciences, those secular colleges want to first socialize your young person in liberal theology by having them take all of those freshman and sophomore classes in history and English and women's studies. And then later in your junior and senior year, you can take your engineering classes. So the workaround is to get those liberal art classes from a Christian college with a Christian worldview and then transfer in to pick up the hard sciences, the engineering, the medicine. Many Christian parents tell me that they're going to send their children to the county college to get all of their non-major liberal art classes out of the way. What a mistake. The poison is actually in those first 2 years of college when you're getting all of those non-major touchy-feely classes. That's the purpose of liberal arts classes, to liberalize you, to socialize you. Oh, you might get it cheap at the county college, but what are you getting? An education tainted with error. There is a war against God in this world, and you need to be a wise soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us with questions, comments, insights at godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or download it. Contact us and we'll send you a free CD of today's program or other past programs. That is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today and thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to not only believe it, but to learn to practice it by our decisions and by our actions. May we stand in this evil day and having done everything to stand. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.